You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
When you come to Jesus in faith, when your eyes are open to the gospel, and you find out who Jesus is and believe it, well, it's nothing short of amazing. But as great as that day is, when you pick up your cross every day and follow Christ faithfully over a lifetime, right to the finish line, that's just as amazing. But don't let anyone tell you it's easy. I believe that's why God is so gracious to include so much encouragement in His Word. Don't grow weary in Ephesians, or fight the good fight in 2 Timothy. Press on, persevere. Hebrews, our focus right now in our five-year journey through the entire Word of God, has encouragement for the weary too. In a word, it's hope, a hope that's alive and real. Well, thanks for traveling with us on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and our teacher is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and he's in the Hope chapter of Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be encouraged to stay at it, to keep in the race that is the Christian life. And our motivation is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. So grab your copy of God's Word and hop aboard the Bible bus. And while you find your seat, let's hear a few letters from our fellow passengers. First, we got an email from Lynn. I'm a World Prayer Team member, and I love hearing from people all over the world, Lynn says. She goes on, it's a joy to hear their letters telling us how much they love getting the truth from God's Word when they listen to Through the Bible. I love hearing how they listen and how God brought that method to them. He is so amazing. I'm so thankful God has provided for us so that we are able to support this great ministry. Well, thanks for that support, Lynn, and for the encouragement. Here's a letter. This is from Mayella, and she had this to share. Being a part of the World Prayer Team has brought great joy to me. I feel a part of the body of Christ as I join with believers all across the world, praying for others in places far and near. Since I don't have a local church to attend, I am blessed to be able to listen to your sound biblical teaching and to be a part of getting the gospel out. I look forward to the next destination. And you know, I always look forward to our prayer team destinations, so thanks for writing. Our next note comes to us from a listener in New York who says this, being a member of the World Prayer Team has opened my eyes to how privileged we are in the United States to worship freely, at least for now. It has also shown me that many people in other areas will risk their lives and safety to know His Word. Finally, it makes me so very thankful for this ministry. Without it, I would still be in my ritualistic church and in total ignorance of the Bible and even right and wrong. May God continue to bless this ministry in its entirety until He comes. Well, would you like to join our World Prayer Team as we travel the world on our knees? Together, we pray for one country at a time, asking God to make Himself known to all who hear His Word. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but every testimony we read today, that person was on our World Prayer Team. To sign up, visit ttb.org/pray or call 1-800-65-BIBLE for some more information. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word and our freedom that we have to study it. We ask that You'd help us to grasp the depth and breadth of Your grace and then to find hope in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study of Hebrews 12 on Through the Bible.
Now, maybe you do not need the review, but I do. You heard the program last time, and I made that some time ago, so I have to review. And you'll forgive me if I just bring us up to date. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we saw a list of men and women who, under all circumstances, in all walks of life, under all conditions, in the different time periods of the history of this world, who lived by faith, who walked by faith, who had been saved by faith. And they're witnesses unto us. And now in the 12th chapter, it is the great hope chapter. You see, chapter 11 is the faith chapter. Chapter 12 is the hope chapter. Chapter 13 will be the love chapter. And He calls us now to lay aside every weight and every sin. And let's get out on the race course of life. And let you and I live for God today, right now. This is real. This is reality we're dealing with. This is right now. We are the now generation. This is something you can incorporate in your life now. And we're to keep looking unto Jesus. And having said that to us, and having said what he did about him, in verse 3, where we begin today now, he says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now we're called to endure, and we're to consider him. I am going to say something next time in connection with this section, but let me just mention this at this time. These people have come out of a religion that had a tremendous ritual and a great temple. The temple of Herod, though it was not completed, even up to the time it was destroyed in 70 AD, was a thing of beauty and awe-inspiring. And there was a great ritual that went with that. It had been a God-given religion at the beginning, and it had been debauched and prostituted by this time. But nevertheless, if you go in for religion, they had it. Now they are giving up all of that. And they don't go through all that religion. They have now come to consider him. That is, it's Christ, and he is everything. He's the temple. He's the ritual. He's Christianity, friends. He's it all. And there was a simplicity about this. And next time I want to talk a little about the simplicity that we hear today in Christ and all this believing-ism that's going around. But the important thing is there was this simplicity in Christ. And they now are to consider him. First of all, they're to know he endured when he was down here. And he learned patience. And we were told at the beginning of this epistle, in that section that presented his humanity, that he learned a great many things down here. Though he's God, but in the flesh, he learned something that actually God had to experience, and that was to take on our humanity and suffer for us. And he endured, and he learned patience. And now he says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, my friend, may I say this to you very candidly today? I want to be very careful, and it's this: unless you stay close to the Word of God, which will keep you close to the person of Christ, where the Holy Spirit can take the things of Christ and make them real to you, you're going to get weary in the Christian life, and you're going to faint in your minds. And that's the reason there's so many discouraged Christians around today. My friend, you come to the Word of God and get close to Jesus Christ, and you're going to be encouraged, and you're not going to be wearied about this life down here. We're living in the greatest days that there ever has been. Notice verse 4. He says here, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Now, that simply means this. At this time, the temple was not destroyed. Persecution that was going to come from the Gentiles, the Roman Empire, had not yet broken upon believers. And he's saying to them, you just haven't yet resisted unto blood. Though you're having your problems and trouble, the only cure for your weakness and your weariness and your faltering and your failing and your stumbling and your discouragement is to consider him. Consider Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now, verse 5, he continues this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." Now, there's several things here that I think we need to look at. First of all, he's quoting from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 11 and 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the father the son, in whom he delighted. Now consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners." And in doing that, he says, you've forgotten now their only resource was Christ and not a temple, not a ritual, not a religion. They were almost outcasts at this time. And he's saying here, don't forget this exhortation from God that he speaks to his children. And by the way, I would also say that the word children is used here. And that's one word. And then we have five references now, and the word son is used. And that's a different word. Now, the word son is weos, and it means a full-grown son. There are a great many saints today that do not think they need to be disciplined. This is for mature saints, people that have been at this a long time. And this is where I came in, by the way. I came to the place that I didn't need to be disciplined anymore, that I'd come a long ways, and the Lord put me flat on my back and let me know that there was some more discipline to be done. But notice what he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, this is a marvelous verse. In fact, it's a great verse. And we need to notice another word here, and that's the word chastening. And that word chasten is a little different word than we think of it. We think that it's punishment. And I want to say this to you, that the word chasten here is paiduo, and it means child training or discipline. You see, the Lord disciplines his children. He's going to make that perfectly clear here, that he disciplines his own. So let me read this section here, and I'll come back to it. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? For if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. That's strong language. But some of the church members need to hear this passage of Scripture today. It's an important passage of Scripture. Let me say this. The question is sometimes asked, and it's a very pertinent question, why do the righteous suffer? This is the thing that I got into during this period, which I've been confined to my home, and all I've been able to do is just lie flat on my back most of the time, and then rest of the time I've been permitted to study. I want to go into this. I've done this in depth, and I would love to pass this on to you because I'm speaking out of an experience. God's children suffer. Let's put that down as an axiom of Scripture. The Bible doesn't argue that. The Bible just says that's true. Why do the righteous suffer? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You remember in the book of Job, we're told that man's born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the Lord Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And even Paul says, if any man will live a life today in Christ Jesus, he's going to suffer persecution. Why do God's people suffer? Now, there's no pat answer for that. No little one verse of Scripture answers that at all. I have gone through the Scripture, and I have listed seven reasons why God's children suffer. I'm going to mention those, and I hope I'm able to cover all these today because I think they're very important. First of all, let me say that we, as God's children and as sons, mature sons, we suffer, many of us, for our own stupidity and our own sins. Let me read one verse of Scripture, 1 Peter 2:20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, and that word's harmatano, that means a sin where you miss the mark. You just don't quite make it. Ye shall take it patiently. He says there's nothing to that. That's no value, because a lot of times you and I suffer because we played the fool. How many of you listening to me today that years ago you invested some of your savings in a Wildcat oil well down in Texas? I was pastor down there for many years. I can tell you about a whole lot of folk down there. that have a dry well today. Actually, I know one man that he and his family are practically in want. He suffered, but he suffered because he actually played the fool. I know another man right here in Los Angeles. He came into me and he says, you know, McGee, I have certainly played the fool. Well, I said, what'd you do? Well, he said, my wife and I, we haven't been getting along too well recently. And in the office, she's not my secretary, is a very attractive woman. She was very sympathetic with me. And she had to work one evening and I had to work. And I'd call my wife, but I had to work. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, it'd be nice if we went out for dinner. I said, frankly, we didn't do anything other than just go out to dinner. And he says, we sat, and he said, very frankly, it was a very friendly sort of a dinner. And he said the wrong person was in that restaurant and saw us and called my wife. And it never went any farther. It might have. But he said this to me, I played the fool. You know, a lot of saints suffer because of their stupidity. And then a second reason we suffer is for taking a stand for the truth and righteousness. And I'll guarantee you, if you take a stand for the truth and righteousness, you're going to suffer. And how many men and women could testify to that today? And that's in 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So that's another reason some of the saints are suffering today. They've taken a stand. They did it deliberately, and they're standing for God. Now you can play the fool in that connection. I know a man that came to me and told me that where he worked, everybody was his enemy, and it's because he stood up for God. Well, one of the men who was an official in that concern, I asked him about it because he was a Christian, and he told me what he did, how this man tried to lecture everybody, even during work hours. He'd go and begin talking to somebody who's busy, and that wasn't the place to witness. And he said that he'd made himself an absolute nuisance. Now, he wasn't really suffering because he took a stand for truth and righteousness. He was just stupid, that's all. I mean that you take a stand today for that which is right without making a fool of yourself. You don't have to do that. Take a stand for righteousness and you'll suffer for it. Now, there's a third reason. You can suffer for sin in your life. Paul says, if we would judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. Now, if you and I won't deal with sin in our life, I'll tell you this, if you're his child, he'll deal with it. He'll judge you. Now, the fourth reason, you can suffer for the past sins of your life. Be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of flesh reap corruption. Now, he's talking to believers. Best illustration I have of that is one time that we had Mel Trotter. He was a converted drunkard years ago in Nashville, Tennessee. And after the service, we went to a place called Candyland. The rest of us got big sodas, you know, malts. And he got a little glass of soda water. And they began to kid him about it. And he made this statement, when the Lord gave me a new heart, he didn't give me a new stomach. He was suffering because of that. And so that's another reason. And then there's a fifth reason, and that's a very lofty, high reason. And you find that in the book of Job. Job suffered because he was demonstrating to Satan and the demon world and to the angels of heaven that he was not a time server, that every man does not have his price, and that he loved God for himself alone. And I hope I never am put in that place. Then there is a sixth reason. We mentioned that before. It was in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Some demonstrated their faith, and there was great victories won. Some were delivered from the sword, but he also says some were slain with the sword. I think of the French Huguenots. They went into battle, and they all knew they'd be slain, but they went into battle singing, if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, they suffered for their faith. Now I come to the seventh and the last one. That's what we have here. It's for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now that's different. Word chasten, as we've said, is child training. It means discipline. That's not punishment. You see, a judge punishes. A father chastens, and he does it in love. Punishment is to uphold the law. God uses chastening to demonstrate how much he loves you. And he makes it very clear you're an illegitimate child if you are not chastened to the Lord. Great many people say, oh, why did God let this happen to me? I must not be a Christian. My friend, the best proof you are a child of God is the fact that you suffer. And it's severe and it hurts. And that's what he goes on to say here in verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. We'll talk about that later. It's sort of like the boy that his father said to him before he whipped him. He said, son, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And the boy says, yes, Dad, but not in the same place. God chastens his children. I don't think he gets any particular joy out of it, but it's because you and I need that. Now, I want to give this personal testimony because this is such an important section that we're in. And then I'm through for today. You will forgive me for being personal. When I had cancer several years ago, my first question to the Lord was why? It didn't take me long to discover why. It was my Heavenly Father punishing me. That was punishment. I know that now. And I got things squared away with the Lord. I was a hard-headed child of God, you know. And so when I began this radio ministry and everything has gone so wonderful, and I came back off this trip feeling so good, and then I'm knocked down with not only the diverticulosis but hepatitis, and the doctor says, you stay there on your back. Don't you leave the place. And I stayed there for 3 weeks. I want to say to you, learn something. I'd like to pass this on to you. He wasn't judging me this time because I keep my account short with God. I get them straightened out about every day. I fail him, and I'm still as hard-headed, I guess, I ever was. But I go to him, and I confess it. I believe I'm in the will of God. And I went to him and cried this time, and I said, Lord, why in the world do you let this happen to me? I want to go on with my program. And he put me flat on my back. He says, you're my son. I'm your father. And there's a lot of things you don't know, a lot of lessons you haven't learned. You may have the notion that your ministry today is essential, and that I can't get along without you. After all, how'd I get along without you before you got here? And you think that these conferences that you had to cancel and I had to cancel, friends, over a dozen conferences. Oh, I'd cried out to God because I wanted to make them all. Some of them up in the Northwest, and I love those people up there, and I wanted to go up there. And the Lord said, no, you're not going. You're going to lie here. You're going to learn something. You're going to find out something, that I'm your father, and that you've got to learn to endure for me. You do not know how to rest. You do not know how to wait on me. And you know, I've been lying flat on my back most of the time looking up. And it took me a long time. I crawled up in bed and I said, all right, Father, you want me to lie here, I'll lie here. And I want to learn the lesson that you have for me. You know, he's a wonderful Father, our Heavenly Father. And we're going to talk a little more about this next time because personally, I think this is pretty important at this time. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Some of you may also be lying flat on your back looking up. If so, you'll want to join us next time as we hear four possible reactions to the Lord's discipline in our lives and how to respond in a constructive way. In the meantime, a resource that may also be helpful for you is Dr. McGee's booklet, Why Do God's Children Suffer? And it's available for free as a download at ttb.org. And while you're there, be sure to look up other booklets by Dr. McGee that are based on Hebrews 11. Another one is called Firm Up Your Faith, How to Have Confidence in God. In it, Dr. McGee asks some personal and pointed questions like, have you come to God convinced intellectually, convicted emotionally? And have you taken the active step of trusting him as your Savior? As we're learning in this 5-year journey through God's entire Word, that is the definition of real faith. These are just a couple of the many resources we offer that we think will deepen your personal study of God's Word. So if you'd like to browse our entire library, you can download our app or visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find something specific. You can also write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as we go, here are a few words from Hebrews 12 to encourage you. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for our committed listening family who faithfully pray and invest in Through the Bible as we together take the whole Word to the whole world.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Good morning. This is to all our faith partners and rain listeners. I pray that all is well and your hearts are in tune for the Word of God. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly in Melbourne, Florida. It is our pleasure to present unto you the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to save your souls. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." And you know what he said? He'll give you rest for your souls. Hallelujah. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's in Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Our P.O. box is 2303. That's in Melbourne, Florida. So if you have any correspondences, you can always mail or send your donations, whatever you want to do, to the P.O. box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. We love you. We thank God for you and all that tune into the broadcast. We ask a blessing from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that is able to bless you immensely. His blessings go beyond anything that we can think or do. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at what the Word of God says in Romans 6 and verse 23. Praise God. 6 and verse 23. We know that there are many people that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, but God is able. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. So I want to present Jesus to you. I don't want to present no denomination, no pastor, no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, as Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Rome, he says, the wages of sin is death. Now that is spiritual death, praise God, because we know that you're going to die. Everyone's going to die. But the Bible tells us that. So what he says is that the wages, that means that what you're doing, you're going to get a salary for it. You're going to get paid for it because they are wages. And no one out there in Radio Land wants to be able to accept wages of death. But God has made it possible that we all can come to him, no matter what our problems may be. And many of us, we're going through all kinds of dilemmas and situations. And Jesus has told us that we're to give our cares unto him because he is able to do it. He said, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So whatever your problems may be this morning, doesn't matter. The Lord Jesus Christ is able. I mean, I woke up this morning, praise God, with a little issue. But I want to tell you, Jesus is Lord. He is the only one that is able to correct the situation in our lives. So Paul was writing to the church of Rome, and he said, the wages of sin. Now listen to what he's saying, the wages of sin. So you're going to get paid. There's a payday that is coming for everyone that are out there that are sinning, that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. You don't need to die twice. You only need to die once, because the Bible tells us that in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, praise God, he says here that It's been appointed once for man to die. Appointed once for man to die and after that the judgment. So what is happening is that once you die, you will be judged. Now, what period of time that will be, that's in the hands of God. But I want to show you today that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much until what happened is that he went to Calvary's cross to take your sins, sicknesses, and disease so that you could be with him throughout the ages of eternity. But Apostle Paul is telling us that there's a wage that everybody's going to get paid for. And listen, you don't have to die twice. Die once. And that's in this natural realm here. Praise God. That way you'll be able to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the wages, there's a salary for what you're doing. And everyone out there in radio land that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, there's a salary that will be paid. And we have to understand that Jesus, he took and died a horrible death there on Calvary's cross, and he didn't do it in vain. He did it so that we all can have a right to the tree of life, so that we all will be able to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. Praise God. So the wages, and he was very adamant about it. He said, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, I'm going to tell you, there's a gift that has been given. You don't have to try and earn it. All you need to do is receive it. And it's so important here that if you receive this gift, then you only die once. Many people have looked at that and said, well, I have time. I don't have to do what's going on right now. Look at what happened with the thief on the cross. And they use all kinds of illustrations. But I want to tell you, you may not have that opportunity. The thief had the opportunity, and it was given to him by Jesus. He was the first man that Jesus took into paradise. But I want to tell you, we are here in this earth realm, this natural realm. From day to day, we are walking about, and we are thinking about the things that we want to do instead of thinking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who took all of our sicknesses, sin, whatever it is that we were going through, he took it and nailed it to the cross of Calvary. And this is why we must lift up the name of Jesus, and that way you can avoid that second death. That second death has no power. The second death will take you into a place that you will be there throughout the ages of eternity, which is called hell. But let me explain something to you this morning. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All God is asking you to do is to receive his Son and whom he sent to redeem mankind back to him. Praise God. You know, it is not his will that any perish, but all come to repentance. And what happened is that he loves us so much until he came and died for us. Praise God. So the gift, everybody's running around during the holidays passing out gifts. Well, that's the wrong gift. The gift that people need today and throughout the years and whatever you want to place it, is that you need the gift of eternal life. And that only comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the gift. He's the gift that keeps on giving. No matter what he's going to do, he keeps on giving. He bears everything so that you and I will have a right to the tree of life. Now, listen to what he says. But the gift of God. See, now, this is what is happening. The gift of God. God loves us. He sent a gift for us. Praise God. That gift was Jesus. And he's still giving today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what problems you may have, he's still giving. He's giving eternal life to everyone that will believe and trust in him, that will take him at his word. This is why I say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and give your life to him. He's the one, the only one, that is able to change your life. Praise God. He said, come to him. He never said, come to a denomination. He never said, come to some preacher. He never said, come to whatever ecclesiastical body that you can come in contact with. No. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take up my and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to Jesus, to the Lord Jesus. Look for a moment. If I can give you a tutorial point of what took place there on Calvary, but the Lord Jesus Christ hanging there on Calvary's cross, one that never sinned, one that never caused any problems, one that died for your sins, he's hanging there on Calvary's cross. This is why we lift up the name of Jesus, and we tell everybody about his goodness and what he has done for us, because he didn't come to seek and save the lost without a cause. He came, he gave his life so that you could have eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I wonder how, when Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Rome there, how those folks felt. Because it's just a gift. You can't earn a gift. All you need to do is receive the gift. And the gift is the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
The moment that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. He baptizes you into the body of Christ. Therefore, you have eternal life. Eternal life is not here. Eternal life is the moment that you receive Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You have eternal life. So the flesh will be doing a whole lot of things. But the point is that Jesus, somebody out there in radio land should say Jesus.
Jesus.
Because Jesus is the answer to all of our problems. Praise God. No matter what they are, he is the answer. So you come to Jesus. Stop running behind man and all the things that mankind is doing and run to Jesus. He will change your life. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful? That's where he will change your life. And he is the gift that keeps on giving. No matter where you are, think about Jesus. He keeps on giving. He gives eternal life to as many as believe and trust in him. And that's why God said, well, no, his will is not in the prayer, but all come to repentance.
Come to repentance.
Change your way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Change your mind. Mm-hmm. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be the focus of your thoughts, your intentions, and let him do a good work in your life. Because if you're working, that means that God is not working. But if God is working, that means you have ceased from the things that you're doing, and you open up your heart and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Isn't it wonderful? He is the gift, the eternal gift, the gift that will take you beyond the thoughts and the things that the enemy has set up to try to take you into the place that he's going. No, it's a simple gifts. Let me see if I can just go a little further with this gift. Can you imagine if you went into the supermarket or someplace, you purchased your food, and then you get ready to pay the cashier, and she said, oh, no, it's paid for.
Amen.
It's paid for. It was a gift. So now you don't have to worry about giving any money out. You accept that gift. Well, Jesus is a gift to humanity. He came to seek and save that which was lost. We all were lost.
All were lost.
And found undone, wretched. And that's why Apostle Paul was telling them in the third chapter there of the book of Romans, that all is sin. It comes short of the glory of God. Tremendous glory. What do you think about the gift that keeps on giving?
I just think that we have the opportunity to receive him. And he said he didn't want any depression. And he wants all to come to repentance. I mean, he's long-suffering. He just wants you to make the right choice. And that right choice would be receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen. That right choice is, you see, we run around and we're trying to pass out different gifts to different people to make them feel happy in the flesh. But no, God wants you to give your life to him. He gave you the opportunity so that you could be here, so that you can be blessed, so that you can receive his son Jesus as Lord and Savior of his life. Well, he's the only way anyway. Yeah. No matter what we try to do, if we don't receive the gift, still, the Bible tells us that there's a chance that you will be judged. And by being judged, if you don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, you will find out. I say that he is Lord.
Yes. You know, he said he's the way. He's the truth.
Yes.
And he is the life. No man, no woman, no child can come unto the Father but by me, which is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't that wonderful? But he's given us the invitation to come.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is that he's not charging. Come and buy without money, you know. You don't have to have no money to come to Jesus. You don't have to pay anything to get saved. But if you don't, you will give your life, and your life will be eternally lost because Jesus is the only one that can take care of the problem. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And everything that he's done. You know, for a minute, he was the one that hung there on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy does not like for you to talk about the cross.
No.
Because it tells you exactly where he was defeated. Exchange this gift. Receive this gift. The gift that the Lord Jesus Christ gave so that your life can be changed. So that your life can be changed. And I tell you, once you get your heart in the right direction, your mind thinking the right thoughts, what will happen is you will have the blessings of God and you will walk in eternal life. Now, the thing here is that eternal life, we are all preparing for that great day that we will meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's just going to ask you, what have you done with my name?
Amen.
What have you done? And there are many things that people would try to devise and say, well, I've done this, I've done that. But let me tell you something. Those things are nice, and they're good. But the point of the matter is that, have you received me? Did you receive me? I was a gift that came in to humanity so that you would have eternal life. I stepped out of eternity into the natural realm so that you could have eternal life. And this is what all my servants and those that love me and believe and trust in me, they're talking about me. They're not talking about themselves. They're talking about me. They offer my gift unto everyone that will believe and trust. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
It's so powerful because Jesus is the answer for all mankind.
Right.
Mr. Gloria, you know that it says here that it's been appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's going to be judged.
Yes.
You would have the folks that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be judged at the great white throne judgment. And you have those that have believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ at the bema seat of Christ.
Praise God.
And what happens is that they won't be judged for sin. They will be judged for work, the things that they could have done and they did not do. But on the other side, there's one that's being judged for sin because they refused to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. You see, it's a simple gift. The gift, a great gift, a gift that you don't have to pay for, a gift that if you receive it, you have eternal life, a gift that you cannot earn it. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. Praise God. I tell you, I want to, as the man said, I want to go up in the first load. I don't want to wait around to see who else is coming. I have received the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I believe.
Amen.
I believe that he is who he says he is. And there are many today out there in radio land. You're out there. You know you're not living right. You know that you're living according to the standards of this world. You're doing your own thing. You're pressing your own way. But I want to tell you today, think about what you're doing. Change your heart. You're the only one that knows whether you're living right or not. We cannot judge you. We cannot pin no label on you in terms of what you're doing and who you are. But all I can tell you is that if you know and heard and have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be with him throughout the ages of eternity. Isn't that something?
That's beautiful.
That's throughout the ages of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
He loves us. He loves us so much. And many times, all we have to do, praise God,
mm-hmm.
is just thank the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
Because everything could have been wrapped up in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, it could have been wrapped up there. But God said, no, my grace is sufficient. So he sent Jesus to die for our sins. You know, it's hard for us as mere mortal men to try and figure out.
I know.
Well,
that's why that's the Spirit. When the Spirit reveals everything that the Word is telling you. The Spirit, Holy Spirit is very important. And faith, knowing what Jesus has done for you, all that's wrapped up in receiving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, see, when you have the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit makes it more real to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to see the necessity that you need Jesus.
Right.
You need Jesus for healing, deliverance. You need him for everything.
Yes.
So he is the gift
yes.
of God, the gift that keeps on giving, the gift that gives everybody an opportunity that they can have eternal life. Now, both people are going to have eternal life. The sinner is going to be in eternity as well as the Christian.
Uh-huh.
But why? Said that is that you're going to live forever.
Yes.
The spirit that you have is going to live forever. But the ones that receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, they will be rejoicing, walking, hallelujah choir, walking on the street of gold, seeing the angels sing, and most of all, not asking about the 12 patriarchs, but you say, where is Jesus?
Amen.
The one that died for my sins. Isn't that wonderful? Where is this gift that I received? on me. I made a decision to receive this gift. Praise God. And it's the gift of life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The gift of life that was offered to everyone. You know, listen, everybody that comes into this earth realm here, the opportunity is that you come to serve.
Yes.
You come to serve God.
Yes.
You don't come to do what you want to do. He allows you to come in.
Yes.
So that you can give your heart to him and live for him. I thank God.
Yes.
That I gave my life to him, and he gave his life to me. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because I'm not trying to save my life. He said if you try to save it, you'll lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose your life for his sake, you'll find it.
Yes.
You'll have eternal life. We are down here, what we're doing is that we're preparing for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
To walk and live in eternity.
Amen. Amen.
So I just want to explain to everybody that you don't have to try and earn the gift of God. Just receive it. Receive that gift. The gift is more important than anything here in this earth. I don't care who they are, and I don't care what it is. The gift is more important.
Yes.
Because it's dealing with your soul. Well, I want to thank you for tuning into the broadcast. You come to Jesus, you turn on the broadcast, and if you're being blessed by it, give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask Minister Gordy right now for those that came in at a later time that did not hear what was being spoken of, that they would have an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives.
In Romans 10:9-10, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, glory to God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Ms. Burgum, in Galatians 3 and verse 26-27, well, actually, it tells us that we are all children of God
by faith
in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we give our hearts to him.
Yes.
And we thank him for eternal life. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to die twice. Just die once. And the second time, you will lift your eyes and you will see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that is in glory, waiting for you to open up your heart and receive him. God bless you out there in Radio Land. And I pray for you. I thank God for you that his will be done. And that you will receive the gift that's free of charge. God bless you all until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church. Located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.